Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, February 4th, 2026. Front page, big headlines above the fold, made for a movie. Land of the Swedes becomes land of the pharaohs. Gravel pit turned into Egyptian desert site for new movie Moses the Black. Paxton. It wasn't the Giza Plateau with its majestic pyramids, or the Valley of the Kings. Even so, an area southeast of Paxton looked enough like an Egyptian desert to become part of a recent movie shoot. A crew from Flyover Film Studios in Rantoul shot scenes last fall for Moses the Black, a Yelena Popovich-directed film that opened in theaters Friday. The film is the second one shot in or near Paxton in the last 6 months. Donna Pepper, executive director of Paxton Main Street, a local civic promotion entity, said Flyover Film Studio personnel notified her last fall they were looking for a suitable setting with a desert-like quality and were considering the Prairie Materials Gravel Pit, an area known to locals as Dogtown, southeast of Paxton. They asked if she would scout that area. They needed it to look like the Egyptian desert, Pepper said. Prairie Materials officials let me go in and take some video, and I sent that to the flyover office, she said. Pepper said she was stunned by its appearance. Driving through there, when you think Egyptian desert, it truly looked like that, Pepper said. Flyover officials gave two thumbs up to using the site and invited Pepper to be on hand when filming took place. The California-based Popovich, who is also a producer and writer, told the Ford County Chronicle that the gravel pit was just what they needed for the movie. Can you imagine that? Popovich said. That's a miracle, by the way. Can you imagine if we had to shoot all the area that was supposed to depict Egypt on the green screen? If I show you the pictures from the desert in Egypt, you can't even see any difference. It's rocky desert that has exactly the same color. It was absolutely incredible, and I thank God for it. Popovich said the authentic look of the style also gave Chakuri Iwui, who portrayed the prophet upon whom the movie is partially based, more freedom in scenes and would have been more difficult if done in front of a green screen, and that was a huge plus. Moses the Black was an Ethiopian prophet who lived in 405 AD. A slave, he led a life of violent crime until a revelation prompted him to change his way of life. Living in self-exile, he sought redemption. Fast forward 1,500 years to modern day. In the movie, Chicago gang leader Malik, portrayed by actor Omar Epps, faces a similar life-changing experience. Malik began to have dreams of Moses the Black that show his struggles and path to salvation. The film is executive produced by the rapper 50 Cent. Saint Moses the Black, also known as Moses the Ethiopian, was a real 4th century Christian monk, former robber, and desert father. Popovich is drawn to developing movies of a certain historical and religious fiber. She also wrote, produced, and directed the 2021 film Man of God, a biographical drama about the life of Saint Nectarios of Aegina, an early 20th century Greek Orthodox bishop. He was the victim of persecution by jealous church authorities in Alexandria and was exiled. Undeterred, he continued to serve the poor, teach, and work miracles. The film was a success in Greece, according to Popovich, and was shown on 800 screens in 14 countries. I'm making movies to tell people that God is love. God is life, Popovich said. With his help, any problem can be solved. The good news is, if we get close to Christ, we can experience heaven even when we are here on earth. Popovic is a native of the former Yugoslavia, which is now Serbia. She said Moses the Black was her first film collaboration with Flyover Studios. I have nothing but good things to say about them, about producer and Flyover co-founder Brett Hayes and everybody who was involved with the production, Popovic said. This is a production that has a lot of love, Popovic continued. People that worked on it said that, from crew members to actors to producers, and this is something that makes me very happy. Hayes said Popovic had an amazing vision for what she wanted. Hayes said employees at Prairie Materials, southeast of Paxton, were accommodating during the 2 days of shooting at the site. We were respectful, and they were incredibly respectful of us, Hayes said. What we do is not always the easiest thing, shooting films. We're disruptive because we bring a lot of people, a lot of trucks. It's important to build those relationships. Paxton and Donna are important in building those relationships. Everything for the film was shot locally except for 1 day of urban shooting. Hayes said Flyover likes to shoot as much as possible in smaller towns. Big city scenes are more expensive due to higher costs for security, parking, and support facilities. If we can find alternative options downstate, we can hire Illinois crews and support Illinois vendors without the project leaving Illinois, Hayes said, adding there is a great deal of potential for filmmaking in this area. Hayes said Flyover is also able to take advantage of the new 40% downstate tax credit, which climbs to 45% if a project is certified green or sustainable. Hayes said Pepper was helpful in securing sites for shooting Moses the Black, as well as Chili Finger, which was shot partially in Paxton earlier last year. Scenes for Chili Finger were also filmed in Monticello. The release date for Chili Finger, which stars John Goodman, has not yet been announced. The filming drew a number of area residents who hoped to catch a glimpse of Goodman, whom Pepper said was accommodating in his encounters with locals. Pepper said Paxton is a regional partner with Experience Champaign-Urbana, which has a dedicated film office and which Flyover initially contacted for area locations to film. They really did enjoy both times filming in Paxton, Pepper said. It's less red tape than in Champaign. Paxton Main Street was invited to have a booth at a film expo in Rantoul. Among the displays were photos of the revitalized downtown. Back on the front page from Roberts, dogs perish in house fire. Home of two, a total loss, but no one hurt in blaze. Roberts. Two dogs perished in a house fire in Roberts on Sunday, February 1st. Roberts Melvin Fire Chief Ralph Denault said an estimated 45 firefighters from Roberts Melvin, Buckley, and Loda responded to the blaze at the two-story home at 210 West Main Street around 5:20 p.m. The two people living there were in the home's detached garage before they went outside and noticed the fire, then called 911, Denault said. They were unhurt, although their two dogs died. The home was a total loss. The fire's cause remained under investigation, although Denault said an electrical issue is suspected. It appears to have started in a wall between the living room and a bathroom, he said. Firefighters were on scene until about 8 p.m. The Ford County Emergency Management Agency worked with the American Red Cross to arrange for temporary lodging for the displaced family. Now we have some crime news, and on the front page, ex-teacher sentenced to 25 years in prison for child porn. Paxton man, 38, pleads guilty to Class X felonies. Paxton. A former agricultural teacher at Clifton Central High School in Iroquois County was sentenced to 25 years in prison on Wednesday, January 28th, after pleading guilty to two Class X felony counts of child pornography dissemination. Ford County Circuit Court Judge Matt Fitton sentenced Brett M. Sorensen, 38, of Paxton, to consecutive sentences in the Illinois Department of Corrections of 10 years for one count and 15 years for the other. Sorensen will receive credit for the 499 days he has already served at the Ford County Jail in Paxton. An additional 6 counts of child pornography were dismissed in return for Sorensen's plea. The charges stemmed from conduct alleged to have occurred between May 26th and May 30th, 2024, in Ford County. Sorensen was arrested on a warrant by Illinois State Police on September 17th, 2024, following an investigation initiated by a cyber tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. I am grateful to Investigator Wayne Powell from the Illinois State Police for his diligent work in this investigation, Ford County State's Attorney Andrew Killian said. Cases involving the dissemination of child sexual abuse material require law enforcement to painstakingly sift through digital evidence to identify specific offenders. I recognize and appreciate that effort in this investigation. And also on the front page, ex-coach and teacher set to enter plea this month. Dinkins, 39, to appear in court for plea hearing. Pontiac. A plea agreement has been reached in the criminal case against Robert L. Dinkins, a former Gibson City, Melvin Sibley coach and teacher, charged with 6 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse for alleged sexual activities with a high school student. According to Ford County Circuit Court records, a hearing has been set for 9 a.m. Wednesday, February 18th, for Dinkins to enter a negotiated plea. The plea hearing was scheduled after Special Prosecutor Kate Kurtz and Dinkins' 2 Springfield attorneys, Mark Wyckoff Sr. and Daniel Fultz, announced that a fully negotiated plea agreement had been reached during a January 4th hearing held via Zoom. Livingston County Judge Mary Cole, who was presiding over the case, earlier made a preliminary recommendation for an appropriate sentence after hearing from both parties during a so-called Rule 402D conference. Cole was reassigned the case last June after the 39-year-old Dinkins, a Gibson City resident, was arrested and charged in Ford County Circuit Court. Gibson City Police Chief Adam Rosendahl said an investigation revealed that there was data to support Mr. Dinkins having participated in sexual activities with a high school age student. Rosendahl said police executed a search warrant at Dinkins' residence where they seized his phone and other electronics for forensic analysis. Dinkins, a 13-year employee of the GCMS Middle School District, was fired in April from his positions as an 8th grade math teacher and coach of the 8th grade boys basketball and boys track teams and GCMS Fisher varsity soccer team. Dinkins previously served as an assistant coach for the high school boys basketball team. Prior to working at GCMS, Dinkins was an 8th grade student teacher at Wilmington Middle School in fall 2011. And worked in a 6th grade teaching practicum at Franklin Middle School in fall 2010 and an 8th grade practicum at Cumberland Middle School in Toledo in the spring of 2011. Dinkins remains detained at Ford County Jail in Paxton. Turning to the inside of the paper, we have from the Paxton Police Department, Paxton Police Arrest 4 for Animal Cruelty. Paxton. The Paxton Police Department released the following list of recent activity. 3 people. Michael J. Grice, 22, of Rantoul, Madison E. Shaw, 23, of Paxton, and Justin D. Akers, 21, of Paxton, were arrested for animal cruelty on Friday, January 23rd, after a dog was left outside a Paxton home for several hours in sub-zero temperatures, with no food, water, or shelter. Upon arrival, police spoke with Grice and Shaw, who confirmed the dog had been left outside for at least 9.5 hours. It was further confirmed that the dog had no food, water, or shelter. The dog and another at the property were seized by police and transported to Daisy May Kennels south of Paxton shortly after Grice and Shaw were arrested and taken to the Ford County Jail. Ackers, the owner of the property and dogs, arrived at the jail in Paxton, where he too was charged with animal cruelty. And then James W. Phelps, 53, of Paxton, was arrested for aggravated cruelty to animals, cruel treatment of animals, failure to provide humane care, possession of a controlled substance, and threatening a public official on Friday, January 23rd. The arrest occurred around 6:12 p.m. at Phelps' home in the 400 block of East Pine Street, where police were executing a search warrant regarding an animal cruelty investigation initiated 10 days earlier. Around 6:56 p.m., Tuesday, January 13th, police responded to a complaint that Phelps' four dogs appeared to be malnourished, with one not seen in a couple of days. When police met with Phelps and looked at his dogs, they noticed that one dog did appear malnourished, but the other two did not. Phelps told police that the malnourished-looking dog would not maintain its weight. Phelps said the fourth dog had recently died. Phelps was told to contact a veterinarian as soon as possible to have the dogs looked at and obtain any required vaccination. Phelps never contacted a veterinarian, though, so police executed a search warrant on January 23rd. The three dogs were seized by police and transported to Daisy May Kennels south of Paxton. The fourth dog was found dead inside Phelps' homes. During the execution of the search warrant and his arrest, Phelps allegedly threatened to harm a police officer. In another article from the Paxton Police Department, app helps police locate callers faster in Paxton. The Paxton Police Department is encouraging community members to download an app that helps crews respond faster in an emergency. The police department said that the app, What Three Words, is especially helpful when attempting to pinpoint someone in a farm field, on a rural road, or an area without a clear address or landmark. Living in a farming community, we know emergencies don't always happen at a nice, clearly marked address. Sometimes it's in a corn or bean field, a ditch, or just somewhere off the beaten path. The field off of Route 9 helps us, but when seconds count, it's just not enough, the police department said in a post on Facebook. What Three Words divides the world into 10 by 10 foot squares, the police department said. Each square is given a three-worded designation, and those three words can pinpoint your exact location. Call centers nationwide use the app to help find people in areas with poor GPS or unclear addresses. In Ford County, dispatchers are trained to use the app and help police find callers faster. To use the What Three Words app, you'll have to download the What Three Words app onto your phone. Once it is downloaded, open the app and check your three-word addresses. After that, all you have to do is give the three words shown on the app to the 911 dispatcher. It's a simple tool that can make a huge difference when seconds matter, the police department said. Stay safe, Paxton. Now, from the Gibson City Fire Protection District, fire causes an estimated $20,000 in damage. Gibson City. A fire at a Gibson City apartment building caused an estimated $20,000 in damage Saturday, January 31st. Gibson City firefighters were called around 9:04 a.m. to the Schoolhouse Apartments at 200 North Melvin Street and requested mutual aid from both the Elliott and Sullivan Township Fire Departments. The request for mutual aid from Sullivan Township firefighters was canceled when they were en route. Upon arrival at 9:11 a.m., we were directed to Apartment 205, Gibson Fire Chief Bruce Kalal said in a news release. We found Apartment 205 with moderate smoke on the interior and a small fire that had been extinguished by the sprinkler system. An occupant was assisted out of Apartment 205 for treatment by Gibson Area Ambulance Service. We are not aware of the occupant being transported from the scene. The apartment where the fire began sustained fire, smoke, and water damage, Galal said, while the adjacent apartments beside and below it suffered possible smoke or water damage. Damage is estimated at $20,000, Galal said. Firefighters cleared the scene at 10:17 a.m. The cause of the fire remained undetermined as the Office of the Illinois State Fire Marshal and Gibson City Police continued to investigate. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, February 4th. Karen R. Carpenter, Champaign. Karen R. Carpenter, 66, of Champaign, formerly of Paxton, died at 12:42 p.m. Thursday, January 26th, at Haven of Meadowbrook in Champaign. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Stephen M. Lee, Piper City. Stephen M. Lee, 54, of Piper City, died Saturday, January 24th. A memorial visitation was held Saturday, January 31st at the Knapp Radinius Funeral Home in Gilman. Burial will be at a later date at Ridgeland Township Cemetery in Thawville. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Janet Lindauer, Paxton. Janet Lindauer, 92, of Paxton, died Monday, January 26th. Funeral services were held Saturday, January 31st at Bayer Family Funeral Services in Paxton, with the Reverend Deborah Dormeyer officiating. Burial followed in Pine Ridge Cemetery in rural Loda. Memorials may be made to the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Loda or to an organization of the donor's choice. Kimberly McWhorter, Clarence. Kimberly Sue McWhorter, 39, of Cincinnati, Ohio, formerly of Clarence, died in her apartment in Cincinnati on Tuesday, January 6th. A celebration of her life will be held from noon to 3 p.m. Saturday, February 14th at the Paxton Civic Center in Paxton. The Reverend K.J. Wright will be officiating the service. Richard Scott, Paxton. Richard Scott, 82, of Paxton, formerly of Muhammad, died Thursday, January 22nd at Accolade Healthcare in Paxton. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Sonia V. Smith, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Sonia V. Smith, 72, of Green Bay, Wisconsin, a graduate of Paxton High School, died Monday, January 26th. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon, Saturday, February 7th, at the First Bible Baptist Church, 2605 Libel Street in Green Bay, Wisconsin, followed at noon by a funeral service officiated by the Reverend Rick Matthews. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in her memory to Happily Ever After Animal Shelter in Green Bay. Robert Thompson, Paxton. Robert D. Bob Thompson, 91, of Paxton, died at 12:24 a.m. Saturday, January 31st at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. Funeral services will be at 12:30 p.m. Saturday, February 7th at the Paxton Covenant Church in Paxton, with the Reverend Keith Rother officiating. Burial will follow in Glen Cemetery in Paxton, with military honors accorded by the Paxton American Legion Prairie Post No. 150. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Saturday, February 7th at the church. Memorials may be made to the Paxton Covenant Church. Frederick Quist, Jr., Gibson City. Frederick A. Quist, Jr., 69, of Gibson City, died Friday, January 16th at his home. A celebration of his life will be held this summer. Memorial contributions may be made to the family. Returning to the news we have from the Gibson City Council, hotel feasibility study shows strong market potential for Gibson City. Gibson City. A new hotel in Gibson City is projected to be an asset to the community, concluded a recent hotel feasibility study commissioned by the Greater Gibson Area Economic Alliance, Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services, and the City of Gibson. Matthew Burns, Executive Director of the Gibson Area Economic Alliance, presented the study's findings at the Gibson City Council at its January 26th meeting. According to Burns' report, Gibson City proudly brands itself as the Big Little City, a reference to the community's ability to provide a level of services, amenities, and economic activity that exceeds what is typically expected of a city of its size. Alderman Susie Tongate noted that the little city with a big heart is the preferred slogan. Burns said the report describes Gibson City as a stable, service-rich community where a modest population supports an outside set of amenities and where agriculture, healthcare, and emergency clean energy projects together position the city for steady, sustainable growth in the years ahead. The study found that a new hotel would capture displaced lodging demand from surrounding markets and would be well received locally. Based on market conditions, the report recommends the development of an upper mid-scale to upscale hotel with 50 to 55 rooms. Economic impacts outlined in the study include the direct creation of an estimated 10 to 15 full-time jobs. The report cited additional benefits that would come from increased sales tax, lodging tax, and property tax revenue, along with increased spending at local restaurants, entertainment venues, and other service businesses. The total estimated economic impact from all those sources is projected at $11,903,982. Potential sites for the new hotel, including the area near Illinois 54 and Illinois 9, at Illinois 54 and Sangamon Avenue, or in downtown Gibson City. Greater Gibson Area Economic Alliance, the Gibson Area Hospital, and the City of Gibson, all sponsors of the feasibility study, are actively seeking investors for the proposed hotel project, Burns said. In a response to a question from Alderman Sarah Sarantakos on potential investors, Burns said there has been interest, but names are being kept confidential at this time. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.